Begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. I know we got started a little late. But we know that your timing is always perfect. We trust in your timing, and we open our hearts, minds, what you have to say, what your words will do, how you speak to us. Enjoyment, satisfaction, that we okay. This is a miracle or a healing that many people don't talk about. But like a couple years ago, I was reading and doing devotions, going through Luke, and I came across this obscure message, and it just kind of lingered. I'll tell you why it lingered in my mind. And I thought, okay, I might as well do a study on it. And that's why I brought it in, because we're doing miracles. But I've been thinking about this for a long time. The reason being is in this passage, okay, I'm going to scroll down a little bit. In this passage, we see that, I won't read it, but I'm sure you guys will be reading it. It's a short passage. We see that Jesus is in church, synagogue, right? And there was a woman who had a stabling or crippling spirit for 18 years. And that's where that caught my attention. In some versions of the Bible, it says this woman had specifically a spirit. This is what the demon did. This demon only makes people bend down.
Punched over.
That's weird. We just think that, oh, you know, evil spirit, they just do bad things. They're not toward Jesus. They're the minions or the army of Lucifer, Satan, right? And I thought, that is so odd. There's actually a spirit that is a crippling spirit. And I studied a little bit more. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And the original context or the original language of this phrase is that she was bent over twice, meaning that her spine was fused. And it was like, that there's actual condition like that. I don't know what it's called, but she was bent over twice, meaning really bent over. So she's like, I don't know if you guys can bend over. I apologize to say this way, but she was bent over and bent over like that. And she could not straighten herself. She could not straighten herself. And I was like, what? There's such a spirit like that? Did you know? I didn't know. There's a spirit. There is a spirit that actually arms or brings, you know, that's his job description. And I did a little bit more research. You know, there's books written on, I know it sounds weird, but demonology, right? Which study of demons, which, you know, we believe in, there's all kinds of things. That's what the enemy does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? I just thought that was interesting. I'm not going to really dig into that, but I just thought that was very interesting. So I wanted to study it. We're going to not focus on that, but we're going to end with what Jesus does to us. But it is something for us to know and be aware of, right? And Charles Spurgeon, old preacher, theologian, this is what he said about this crippling spirit. She walked in, this is his interpretation, right? She walked about as if she were searching for a grave, and I do not doubt she often felt that it would have been gladness to have found one. does that mean? Right? That she was hunched over so bad, she couldn't see. Right? Imagine if you had this, if she was in a bad condition. She almost, you know, Spurgeon described it perfectly in a very real way, that she probably just said, you know, I wish I can find the grave, right? Because this is really painful. I can't see anybody. And I can't, you know, there's something that's crippling me. And she doesn't know why, right? And it's in this case, Jesus knew it's an evil spirit. And it's not just crippling, it could be anything, psychological or anything that we deal with. Now, I do want to caution that not all diseases are due to a spirit possession, right? Not everything, oh, I have a headache. Oh, it's a demon. You know, I cast it out in the name of Jesus, right? No, but not all diseases are solely physiological either. So it's kind of good for us to know it's not every disease is just our body. Maybe there's some spiritual warfare there, but not the other way around. So it's just good for us to be aware. Yeah, interesting passage, right? Because the Bible, Jesus specifically said there was a crippling spirit. So we'll see what we do deal with that. Anybody, any questions or comments at this? So many good stuff. Gospels. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on. So nowhere in this passage, this is also a very interesting passage. It does not describe the faith of the woman at all. Typically we see, oh, your faith has healed you. Right? We see that when Jesus is dealing with someone. No faith. This is just a woman. She can't even see Jesus. She's bent over. But Jesus sees her. Right? She doesn't even call to Jesus. Jesus calls her. She can't unbind herself, right? But Jesus strains her, right? Because here, Jesus sees her. He calls her, and he declares something, he speaks something to her, and he lays it on her. She didn't do anything wrong. Okay. Wow. That also boggled my mind, because many times I feel like we have to do something. But Jesus has so much passion. Jesus sees her. Well, we don't even see Jesus sometimes. You know, we're in our own situation. We may not see his hand. We may not see Jesus, but Jesus sees us. And I thought that was quite comforting. You guys see this, right? It's all Jesus, nothing to do with her. Though she is loved by Jesus, and she's valued by Jesus, because, you know, as I was researching, she was like this for a long time, probably because, well, there's no cure. Right? No one knows it was, she was bound by an evil spirit. And the fact that during this time she was a woman, too, not given much attention. So she couldn't really do anything. So there's no social value of that shade to her. But Jesus, her. Jesus always goes to that person. Right? Is that cool?
I find it so cool to imagine that, you know, in my mind too. I mean, as you're describing it. Like, but I guess I never thought about the fact that she couldn't see Jesus, right?
Yeah.
But others could never never see her either. She was invisible. Right? She can't see anyone. Others can't see her. They can't probably hear her. If she speaks, if she's bent over that much, nobody's going to listen to her. She doesn't have a voice.
Right.
She doesn't matter, right? But Jesus comes to her. And imagining your, like, world perspective, you know, looking at the feet of people your whole life,
right.
You know. And then the first face that you see is your Savior's face, right? That must
wow.
be pretty
yeah.
impactful. First glance of this world is the one who brings you into it, you know.
Yeah.
That must be, has been very impactful for her. And it doesn't say that she says anything, but it says that she glorifies God, right?
Yeah.
So that brought her to worship. And I can imagine that sometimes that happens to us too. I mean, I don't see this as like a metaphorical passage, but I'm just thinking in our lives sometimes we're so bent over with our own weights and burdens and don't lift our eyes at all. And
yeah.
we're kind of disabled by that, you know. But it's cool to think that she had a different experience of Jesus than the others who were healed, right? It wasn't because of her faith. She heard his voice, and then she felt his touch, right? That was the first two sensations.
That was it.
Yeah. And I don't know, that was just pretty cool. Like, I guess there aren't as many miracles that have that process, you know? So
that's why this miracle, even though it's very small, it's no one, I haven't heard anybody talk about this miracle.
Right.
And but this is specifically only recorded in Luke. Luke is a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So he picked up on that. He said, this is one thing interesting. Because oh, I'm treating, again, I don't know. This is me kind of interjecting. It's like, I know about biology and the human body, but this one's interesting, right? This is, there's a crippling spirit, and how does Jesus deal with that? And again, this is very different to that. She doesn't even ask for healing. That's also missing. Usually when you approach Jesus, you know, you're like, oh, I believe, help my unbelief, right? I believe you, help me. You know, the guy coming through the roof who always hear that, right? Four friends, full of faith. She doesn't ask for healing. Perhaps she didn't think, I'm doubly bent over. I ain't no hope for me. 18 years? So 18 years of this, she's like, it's not going to change, right? It's not going to change. But how awesome it is that Jesus doesn't give up on her, even though she probably does.
Well, I mean, not to take away from everything, but I think this does say something about her, though.
Yeah.
Because she's so disabled, but she's still in the synagogue.
Right, yeah. Good point.
Right?
Yeah. She's still coming.
She's still coming.
Yeah, she's still worshiping God,
18
right?
18 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that says something when you're so disabled that you are still willing to go.
Right, right.
Worship.
Yeah.
To God's word.
So yeah, she's still there.
Yeah.
She's probably unable to do, she's not able to do much, but she's still there. That does speak to the fact that, I think Jesus will speak to that in the next verse, right? If you guys look into the next section already, if you skip ahead, you'll see that Jesus says, hey, you're a true child of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham, right? Linking her to God's people. But yes, that is a good insight. Anyone else? Online? Feel free to share. I'm just looking in. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, move on. So, as always, I've been driving, every time we see a miracle, part of it is, I'm always driving it back to God, to Jesus, even in the Old Testament, but the text itself then always points me back to Jesus, right, and what he's doing. This was a miracle pointing to the ultimate work of Jesus' mission to bring his children back to himself. And I saw it in this passage, that even when we didn't ask, imagine when you first believe Jesus, the Bible says we all have gone astray, right? He actually sought us out, even when we're not seeking him. Like, this is the work of God, sovereign God, that some people may not go that way, but I feel like we don't even ask God. We don't even see Jesus, but he calls us. And then we're like, oh, and then we come to him.
I think just to add to what you had said too, like, so is... what's Jesus' mission, right?
Yeah.
It's, yeah, to bring us back to himself. But in order to bring us back to himself, there has to be a work of, like, redemption, right? And redemption includes a type of liberation from whatever bondage that sin has caused in our life, right? And in this particular one, you see two particular, like, areas of bondage, right? One, you have demonic, you know, sin, soul bondage over her. And then you have this physical, like, she wasn't made to be that way, right? So she's in bondage, like, physically because of this. But there's that two elements of just, you know, part of Jesus' mission to bring us back to himself includes a restoration, right? Of liberation of what we've been under because of sin. So he's, like, freeing us from the bondage and restoring us to the right relationship with himself, and slowly and eventually the right restoration of our body. Right? I think that's, like,
yeah.
And I love that in so many of the miracles, you show that in this one, she didn't even have to, like, proclaim her faith. But in so many of the miracles, Jesus not only used words, like declaring healing, but he would touch. Like Cindy said, like, when he heard his voice and, like, felt his touch, like, why is touch so important? I mean, his word is enough.
Right.
But there's something that he does with, like, touch. And then I think, to Peter's point, there's, like, a response. Like, she had to stand up, right? Like, to me, that is a little bit of a faith reaction, right? Like, I'm hearing his voice. I'm feeling his touch. I might feel something, like, surge through my body, but my choice is not to, like, believe and to stand up. And then,
right. Yeah, there's a lot going on in here, that touch part. I mean, we'll start with what you said about liberating, right? This is, maybe you yourself knows, this is Jesus' mission. In Luke, right, prior to this miracle, this is in chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty, right, to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind to the blind, and to set liberty at those who are oppressed. In many ways, whether it's physically or spiritually, that was Jesus' mission. And that was what he came to do. Not only, I think in this case, he uses physical healing as an example to show what really meant to free us from our spiritual cripples. It's always a dual purpose, right? Jesus' miracles always have a dual purpose. And as to what Pastor Alex was saying, it's a beautiful picture of the redeemed relationship with Jesus. He calls, he says something out loud, and he touches. And I think we know the calling part. Jesus called us. But I would like to just say that the speaking part verbally, out loud, is an important aspect. It comes, it's in the Word of God. It's in the Scripture quite often, meaning that thinking is good, but there's something that happens when you speak something out loud. There is something there. You speak it out, declaration. And the touching part, Jesus didn't have to touch her. But that's why, you know, when we pray for people, right, touching is,
yeah, right, this is Brian all the time, right?
Yeah.
Every when he walks by, I don't have to say hi, I just like kind of touch him. I don't know why, because, you know, and then I said, oh, why did I touch him? He's so sweaty.
Right? Because there's a connection there, right? There's a connection there. And he likes it too. He's like, oh, okay, did your wife, you know? But I just do that. And now he's a grown man. I have to, you know?
Be careful.
Yeah, be careful, right? He's getting stronger and stronger too. So there's a touching aspect. And Jesus touches us. And I think there is a relational aspect. I know Jesus isn't physically here, but if you're able to say, yeah, I'm touched by Jesus, something is going on. That phrase is very different than say, I believe in Jesus. Or even, yeah, I worship Jesus. Like, to feel like I've been touched by Jesus. That's a different aroma, right? I don't know. That's the word that I would have to write. That's a different feeling.
Dimension.
Dimension? No, yeah.
So, level.
Level. Okay. Yeah. Different level. Yeah. There's always a but. But. In this case, this is actually not a good one. But, in the, you know, but the ruler of the synagogue, indignant, mad, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to people, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days, be healed. Not on the Sabbath, right? And the Lord answered him, you hypocrite, the not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the manger. Needed a way to water it. And ought not this woman, daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years. So he addresses the work of right? Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. As he said these things, all his adversaries and all the people rejoiced, all the glory that was done. What is the purpose of this part of the story? Why did Luke include this part? Why do you think this was included? Or why do you think this is important at all? Study the tail end of this, not just stop at the miracle itself. Do you think there's any relationship to the miracle? Is there something critical to know about what Jesus did? And versus when or where it's done?
I think the when is important because, you know, Jesus is redefining. Well, you know, if you look at the whole passage, right, this is not just about the healing and the synagogue and the Sabbath, but this is kingdom, right? So very big in the book of Luke is like the kingdom development, right? The kingdom of God language. And there's a part of me that's thinking that Jesus's mission, like, there's rest, but like it doesn't, but it has to keep moving, right? So I think there's a, you know, so when we talked about that earlier about Jesus's mission of like liberation of bondage, I think he's like redefining, like, you know, they have a concept of Sabbath being Sabbath rest.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a certain number of steps they can take, a certain types of things that they can do on the Sabbath to be considered rest. It's very like defined. It's very like legalistic, right? And he's like even like liberating people from that religiosity of like worship. Right, so they define worship as Sabbath rest. We can only take so many number of steps. We can only do certain things. We cannot heal on the Sabbath. You can only heal on any other day, on the other day. So, I don't know. I get a picture of like, you know, the kingdom is, he's introducing kingdom language, right? And kingdom starts and the text later says kingdom starts small and it's growing because he's here now. So he introduces kingdom. He brings the kingdom, heaven, down to earth. He initiates that, and it begins to grow from this time. And that kingdom includes all of this, like loosing, you know.
Yeah.
I love how it's like side by side, right? It's juxtaposed, where it's like, you know, do you not untie, right? And I wonder if that's the same, like, Greek word as loosed, right? Because that's like, loosed is like the first Greek word that you learn to learn, right? Luo is what you learn all of your Greek word from, all your Greeks from. And so I'm wondering if it's the same word, right? Because like you allow yourself through your Pharisaical rules to loosen and unbind your donkey to bring them to like life, to water, right? But how can we not think of worship also to include like loosing anyone from their bondage to lead them to life, to living water?
There's, you just brought in even more layers, right?
So,
yeah, this small passage, there's a lot more. But Jesus never does miracles, says anything without purpose. Like, he doesn't waste a miracle. That's why there's always multiple, at least a dual purpose, but in this case, multiple purposes, even to loose. I wonder, as you're saying that, even on the Sabbath, especially on worship day, on Sunday, right, or days of the day of worship, that the mission doesn't change. Jesus' mission to loose. The whole thing is not to be legalistic and follow a set of rules. Actually, it is to free us from something. This loosed from bondage is probably one of the most critical things in our personal life. We are all bonded by something. And in fact, I think worship, the Word of God, singing, and all the stuff that we do is meant to free us from something.
It's the same word too.
It's the same word.
Untie his donkey.
Yeah,
same,
loose.
Like unbinding. You know?
Yeah. To loose us. To, that's the mission. Is to free us. But Jesus, that's why Jesus said, you hypocrites. Sabbath is not Sabbath because it's just Sabbath. You know why a Sabbath? It meant to free you guys. And I'm freeing a daughter of Abraham. You want to keep her bound because of a rule. It's been 18 years of pain and suffering. Come back tomorrow. Because on Sunday or on Sabbath, we don't do this.
So Frank, I think it's interesting that you're saying it that way, because this language is not like the common nomenclature of our, it's not the language of our church. We don't talk about ourselves being bound and needing to be loose. We don't talk about bondage. We don't think of coming to church on Sunday. No one woke up this morning saying, I'm going to come to worship and I want Jesus to free me, to liberate me from something that I'm still in bondage to. Even though he has technically freed us, but we still have a lot of places, the scripture says, footholds that we've given to the enemy in our life. But how many of us like woke up this morning to say, I want to come to church to be freed. I want to be freed of my bondage in this area. I've been stuck in this area for 8 years, 8 months, 18 years. I have not changed. I have not changed. I'm not freed. So I need to think about, Jesus, would you free me today? Would you loose the shackles in my life? Would you unbind me so you can lead me to healing? Like, we don't use that language here.
Yeah. That is
not yet.
I'm introducing the language. You're right. The language is not used, but whether the language is used or not, I believe that we all struggle with it, or we all feel it.
You need it.
You need it. That's what the word is meant to do, to set us free, right? And so that we want to be free. I mean, I want to be free, more free. And Jesus started, the salvation started this process, but certainly it's not done yet. We see so much bondage and issues, even in the church and in our personal life, right? Even as Christians. So there is still a lot going on, and we do need Jesus to free us, be loosed. And that puts a new perspective on worship, right? Music. Why is music there? It actually has helped us to kind of open up a little bit more. It's not like this, right? Because usually I'm like this, and I don't know, it's a holistic approach. Your mental, your spiritual, and your physical. Because we're human beings. We have all three aspects. We need all this to help us to connect to our Lord and Savior. That can be a Sunday school thing for 6, 7 weeks or 8 weeks. Yeah. But there is a purpose to that. It's to show us, hey, there's something to the legalism here, right? I defined it as this. Somehow, the leaders of the synagogue, their commitment to the method was more than a commitment to the mission. We know what the mission is, to set the captives. Jesus knew his mission, but he was committed to the mission. But I think so were the Pharisees in the beginning. But somehow they were committed to the method They forgot the mission was to free those who are blind, those who are oppressed. That was actually the mission of Jesus. That's why Jesus was not bound by the place or time. It was like, I came here to free this daughter of Abraham. So I'm going to do it now. Because Satan has bounded her for 18 years. So I'm going to do it now. And I'm going to do it in a way that I've never done it before. I choose to heal her. Exercise my authority over Satan right now. Yeah, this is, as I didn't know that there was in this passage until I kind of studied it a little bit more, and that kind of landed on this. We don't have to answer this, but I know I do. There are methods that I'm super committed to, especially when it comes to salvation, to our spiritual life, right? Are there methods I'm super committed to? But I forget the mission. I forget the mission. The mission is actually just help others reconcile to Jesus, be free. That's really the only purpose for Jesus. Right? That's, again, the mission. I don't think this mission is different for us. Is any different for us than it was for Jesus? So that's, I don't know if that's the right word, but that's me. One of the major themes of this passage is unboxed compassion. Like, it's not in the box. Like, we have boxes, right? It has to be done in this way. But I don't think Jesus' compassion is in a box outside. That's his mission. His compassion extends across cultures, time, and place. This is one of the best commentators from the book of Luke, Joe Bach. He says the miracle vividly shows that any time is appropriate to come to God for healing and restoration. Any time, any place. It doesn't have to be at church.
But I even wonder from what I was thinking about earlier, I wonder if any of us today, come and would reframe our thought of today.
Like, what do you mean by that?
Meaning, why don't I seek today and say, God, I may be in bondage in a particular area of my life. Would I come to you to find healing and liberation from that today?
Today, yeah.
Instead of viewing church as the religious methods that we have to go through, but to like welcome that in my life and say, not just welcome, to like seek that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that it's any time, but specifically even today when I come to worship, do I think of it as an opportunity to be like set free?
Right. So that is reframing everything, right? Of what, why are we coming here? But yes, to hear God's word, but there's a purpose, the mission, and however the word is delivered, from the receiving end, certainly I want to approach it like right now, this hour, we can ask for restoration in some area. I mean, I think that's what, I was talking to a non-Christian at work, and we somehow, someone made a comment, about a church, he said, oh, the church is a hospital. I'm like, amen, friend. You can't say brother. Church is a hospital, right? You go here to be healed. Yes, it's a perfect place.
It's as if Christians, after a while, don't believe they need healing from anything. It's like, hey, I'm not sick anymore. I've already been saved.
So untrue, right? We
so
know.
Untrue.
So, but just,
I mean, look around
at
the whole
lives.
Church.
Yeah,
like,
huh?
You look around this room. Everyone needs, like, healing. Like, serious healing, freedom from bondage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how often do we come to church on Sunday worshiping with brothers and sisters and saying, I need healing today. I need to be set free today.
Right. That approach would make the worship service vastly different. Like, if we're coming to say, hey, look, not running a program, right? We want to be set free. I don't care how you set me free, as long as it's Jesus, but Jesus can set people free as we're looking at these miracles anyway, right? In any moment. Yeah, it is not really boxed in. There's actually a lot more freedom to this, and it's not strain in our ways. That Jesus, yeah, once there's a method and a formula, you see in the Bible, Jesus doesn't go that route. He changes it up. Oh, you think I just spit in my hand that here, but I'm not going to spit this out. Right? Yeah. Oh, you think, oh, just by touching I can heal them? I'm not going to touch them this time. I'm going to heal him with my cloak. The end of my cloak. Yeah. Oh, you think it's a cloak? Touch the cloak. I'm just going to talk. Yes, be healed. That centurion's daughter, right? I'm just going to go across time and space and heal them. It ain't no formula. It's not in a box. But it is always Jesus.
I think the other thing that I take away from it, the compassion of Jesus and learning how to see the things that maybe brothers and sisters are bound by.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to see. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. And that comes from a servant's heart where, yeah, you're looking for this, right? Yeah, you're looking for this and you're asking God for the wisdom, insight into this, right? Insight. I sense, grasp. Not everybody has this obvious, bent over. So it's a little jewel, this miracle always brings us back to, yeah, Jesus' compassion. He'll go out of his way even when you don't have. He's there. He's willing. And it does, as Pastor Alex was mentioning, and some of you guys mentioned it, like, for us, we can approach him in reality, like now. We should go and ask, free me. Make me more free. I'm pretty free, maybe you say, but I want to be more free. Yeah. That's Jesus' mission, to set the captives free. If you're oppressed by anything, then come to God for healing. I need it. Yeah. You need it. And the good thing is that there's no formula. There's good methodologies, but it's not one particular formula. Jesus can do it. Any other comments? Red light is passing.
Liked.
You liked it? Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing you've given us already. And to be the Sabbath, we feel nothing. Thank you for this passage. We have all here. We have this woman who has a physical disease. This disease that is the same, but we still are part of the things that we don't do, but you do. Ask for your healing touch and that you still really want to heal. That this brings our heart. Help us to be what we love. Thank you for always being with us. And we pray for but this thing that don't like our heart and bring together.
Thank you.